shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Very weird first couple of hours, as usual, and we thank you for joining us. Our number here, 877-8767. It doesn't make any difference because this is our news and information hour. We throw the number out there just because we want it to become a part of seared into your neural pathway so that you'll never forget it. Welcome to our news and information hour. Bud Dickman here along with Robert Leonard. We also have news to get through and other things. I want to remind you that online at philhendryshow.com is our website where we broadcast from the El Pacifico, and you can see it on our video cast every night, Phil TV in HD. You can watch us do the show. We also have a Backstage Pass membership. You get a BSP. You can watch it. You can listen to thousands of hours of archived radio, and I mean full shows, 3 hours worth, over a decade's worth. It's the largest collection of radio shows, a single radio show anywhere on the planet Earth. So what you basically have is one of the greatest radio shows that has ever been, and you get more of it than any other radio show out there, even crappy radio shows. You figure if a guy's got a show that sucks, he could put it all online and say, well, just the sheer volume of this, maybe I can get my money's worth charging some sort of a subscription rate. But he ain't even going to do that. Or you can take a guy who's got a really great show, and they still haven't put that much media online. We've got both. We've got a great show, and we've put all of the radio shows that we can possibly find over the last decade plus online for you. On top of that, we have our video archive. It's only a 5-day archive right now, but we are going to expand that. We have a full year of our Saturday night video casts that are available. That was our local Los Angeles show that we did on Saturday nights. Everybody can watch that. We also have a variety of other media that we've done over the years. We've got television pilots that we did over the years. We've got interviews that we've done over the years. We have our news feed as well as our comment section that is open only to our Backstage Pass members. Email access only for Backstage Pass members. It's all there at philhendryshow.com. So in other words, what we offer is more than any other single radio show offers, period. And I don't give a damn if they're free. I don't care if they're giving away their website. They don't have what we got. So we do encourage you to take a part in our Backstage Pass membership. You're going to love it. Now, we are giving away a free year of BSP, as I mentioned, to anybody who, anyone whose name we draw, but you can register by going to twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show, hashtag BSP, or you can go to our fan page at Facebook. That's facebook.com/Phil Hendry Fans, PHANS, and like the page, and that way you enter the running for a free 1 year of Backstage Pass. Coming up on Sunday, we have a rare weekend event as we get into football season. You're going to see more of this. We have the radio call from Jack I. Gagner as well as Brett Morrison of the Milwaukee Lions in their first preseason game at Utah Sunday, noon Pacific time. That's noon Pacific time. Okay, here is something that has been going on. We haven't really talked a lot about this. Robert Pattinson got a well-deserved respite today from the inquiring minds who would have him talk about Kristen Stewart, or at least have him address his possibly ex-girlfriend by asking him questions about his feelings and how he's doing. So when Pattinson said, "I was very close to killing myself or killing her," he wasn't talking about his ex-girlfriend or possibly ex-girlfriend Kristen Stewart. He was talking about Cosmopolis co-star Sarah Gadon, who when they first met asked him the always loaded question, "What did you do to prepare for this? You want to get tears. You got to give me the big bucks," the 26-year-old actor said in a mock gangster voice when MTV first Josh Horowitz promised that there would be no Dr. Phil or Oprah talk during their film-centric chat. "What did you do to prepare for this?"
Talking about what he did to prepare for the role.
Right. It's actor talk. This guy's girlfriend was cheating on him somehow, some way. Somehow they, you know, he caught her or she caught him or he caught something, man. We'd probably have to give them the background on that, though, Bud. And for that, you would need to do a little bit more research because the rest of this is hooey.
Yeah, but that's pretty interesting about this one.
This is just a bunch of crap about his TV show, man. I don't care. Talking about his co-star. He's talking about what was really interesting about this is the cheating ex-girlfriend. You know, Do you kill her? Do you, you know, I'll tell you one thing, folks, and...
What do you mean, do you kill her?
No, I'm just kidding about that. But, you know, it is true that in a man's life, and this is just the way men are built, men are built for aggression. And it isn't that we decided to be that way. It isn't that we said, let's be aggressive, because that's different from women who are mostly... they're good at communication, and they're, you know, we didn't just say that's how we're going to be. That's the DNA. That's the genetic. That is the inherited trait, and it goes back thousands and thousands of years. Now, I'm not saying that when you look at your balding, middle-aged, fat husband, you should be looking at a, in point of fact, a, you know, Ice Age caveman type who is capable of rending, eviscerating a reindeer in front of you. I mean,
what's that mean?
You don't want to know. Tearing it apart. You know, we're far removed from that, but the fact is we still have this aggressive gene. And what does that mean? It means that when we are up against something that is threatening us, it's almost automatic that we go into a sort of an aggressive stance. Now, many men, I like to think most men, can break at that point and say, all right, let's think about how we can get through this. And we're not necessarily going to some illegal act like beating someone to death, shooting someone, or otherwise acting out in an unacceptably violent and destructive manner. But it is a part of the first reaction. You have to understand that before you understand anything else. You know, there's a movie out, they did a very bad remake of it, Straw Dogs. Did you ever see this movie?
No, I saw they hit an ad.
Well, that was actually a remake of the original. It was done with Dustin Hoffman and an actress named Susan George, and it was directed by a man named Sam Peckinpah. Many young filmgoers probably have never heard that name, or if you have heard the name, you might not know which movies were his. Sam Peckinpah pioneered violent imagery in films, and when I say pioneered it, he wasn't the first director to deal with violence, but he was the first director to attempt to graphically portray it on screen, from throats being cut to actually seeing bullets penetrate and wound, slow-mo, all that jazz. Although Peckinpah, I don't think, started the whole slow-mo kick. I think that was in Bonnie and Clyde. But nonetheless...
Yeah, I'm seeing slow motion, man, when a guy gets shot. Yeah, like when a guy flies through a window.
Yeah, the first time I ever saw that in a movie was in Bonnie and Clyde. I don't think I ever saw it before that. I don't think I ever saw the violent scene portrayed in slow motion until I saw the Bonnie and Clyde, the ending scene. And then it was beat into the freaking ground by every TV director for the next, like, 10 years on television. But the movie Straw Dogs is about this. It's about a man who moves to Great Britain. He's a college professor, I believe. He's a man of very peaceful tastes and a very moderate and modest approach to life. He's a man of a calm and resolute behavior. He's a peaceful man. He is a reasonable man. And the world around him is becoming more and more violent and becoming more and more unreasonable. So he marries this very sexy, beautiful blonde chick, and I believe he's an American, and I think he's come to Great Britain and moves with his wife to a very out-of-the-way cottage in the English countryside. And Peckinpah begins to set you up. You almost know what's coming. Here's a man of peace. He's a intellectual man. He's a scholarly man. And all he wants is to be left to his books and left to his study. Now, his wife is a young, very beautiful, sultry, sexual, and very much magnetic young woman.
She's coming on the guys and stuff?
Yeah, because what happens is Dustin Hoffman's character hires these workmen to work on the roof of the house, I think. Some kind of an addition or some sort of repair that needs to be done to this beautiful little cottage. And these workmen are the same type as his wife. They are eyeing her through the window. They're catching these physical cues she's throwing at them. She wants to have a sexual liaison. She's tired. She's bored. And, you know, it's very much a one-dimensional view of this woman. It's a Peckinpah movie. It's cut to the bone We're talking about women as sexual trophies, men as potentially violent. And I think the point that Peckinpah is making is very clear. No matter how deep those still waters run, even deeper still is a very dangerous animal if you provoke him. And so these guys who are big, you know, dudes, and they're workmen, and they're around the house, and they're doing this and that, and now they see this chick. Well, they decide to go ahead and take advantage of her, and they do so in a manner that is invasive, and suddenly Dustin Hoffman is the character of this professor, is thrown from his world of books and intellectualism to a point where he has to defend his home. He has to defend what he thinks he has to defend, his wife. But in point of fact, he's defending himself because he's even been betrayed by her.
She's giving it up. Yeah, she gave it up to the guy.
She's given it up to these guys. She has decided that she wants sex from these guys. And what she did not countenance, and again, this is a movie through the eyes of a male filmmaker. She didn't countenance the violence and the rape that this was inviting. And that's exactly what happened. So now this quiet professor is thrown into this violent world where he has to defend his home, and he does. And he does so in the only ways that he knows how to do it. He uses scalding hot water. He uses a bear trap that he has in the house. I believe he is able to get his hands on a shotgun. He uses broken glass as a kind of a knife. And he uses what he can. In other words, the civilized man has everything stripped away.
Yeah, but that's the same thing like a Lord of the Rings.
Well, it's sort of like Lord of the Rings, except it's an adult. It's the same kind of theme, but it's not. Lord of the Rings is a whole different thing. It's about society. This is about man against nature. This is about one man, a civilized man. What does he do when he is thrown into an uncompromising world where there is no reason, where there's no way to argue with it or no way to discuss it, no way to talk it out? No one wants to hear your bullcrap, man. They're going to take from you. What are you going to do? You can't talk about it. You're not going to sit there and reason with him. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so he killed him.
Well, it showed, and Peckinpah's point in the film was, don't ever, ever take anybody for granted. No matter how meek and mild and milquetoasty they seem, they can be very dangerous. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I'm going to show you how to set a bear trap for the milkman. I'm kidding, okay?
That'd be bitching.
No, it wouldn't be bitching. No, it wouldn't. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show on our News and Information Hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Got that all jacked up there. All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. So what did I do? I spent the first 15 minutes of our News and Information Hour talking about a movie that's not out yet because it sucked, right?
Yeah, I think it went out. They did it, and then they said it stinks.
That's really smart, you know. And I'm sure they know far better, and when I say they, I mean movie makers and movie producers. They probably know far better than I do how to make their dollar back from any movie. Even that flick John Carter, you know that?
Yeah, I heard that. That sucked bad.
Well, maybe it sucked, and I understand that a guy lost his job. I think the studio had lost his job, but I just saw where Disney has made their money back already from that stiff on other movie projects. So how disastrous can it be, you know?
Why'd he fire that guy?
They fired the guy because he made a crap movie. He made a movie that didn't make any money. That's a crap movie. But here's my point. Even if you make a crap can movie, man, you're going to make your money back. I remember when that freaking Heaven's Gate came out, which nobody knows what that movie is, and with good reason, because it sucked.
What was that?
It was just never mind what it was. And everybody said it was the worst thing that was ever done. It was the worst piece of garbage that could ever have been made. How dare they do it? You know what, man? I saw that out on cable a few years ago. They cut it. They put it out as a cable, you know, offering, uncut, director's cut, whatever the hell they say. And by the way, thank God for the director's cut of Semi-Pro, or I wouldn't have been in that movie at all.
Yeah, I saw you in it. You're playing a coach and everything.
Yeah, you had a line. Yeah, I had a line. I can only tell you that it was an improv part. So the line that I had, I made it up. So, you know. Anyway, I'll bet you anything they made their money back on at Heaven's Gate. And then some. So don't worry about it, man. All right, the United Kingdom and Sweden have criticized Ecuador for granting political asylum to Julian Assange as the diplomatic row over what to do with him intensifies. Now, the WikiLeaks founder, this is the guy who founded this WikiLeaks, and they got their hands on all of that supposed classified information that was then just dumped right out onto the internet by WikiLeaks. It was, some of it at least, obtained through the services of Bradley Manning, a member of the United States Army, which that's the part that just, I think, is a disgrace beyond all measure, especially to Bradley Manning. I don't see that guy as a hero at all, you know. I mean, if you're spying for a degenerate totalitarian government, I can see it. But taking all kinds of cables and communications and, you know, some benign, some not so, but none of this stuff betraying anything about this country or this government that even rises to the level of scandal. None of it. And you remember the United States Army and you did this. You're just a disgrace. You know what I think they should do with that guy?
Probably ought to put him in prison forever.
No, no, I don't. No, no. You know what I think they should do? Let him out. Let him walk the streets. And just put it out and say, you know what? This piece of garbage, we don't even want this guy at our prison. That's what we think of him. Go on, Bradley. Go on out into the world, man.
What, you hope somebody kill him?
No, I don't hope anybody kills him. No, not at all. In fact, he would probably find a large community of people that would protect him. But for the rest of his life, man, that guy would be nothing more than a stinking, ratting, squealing, dirty leaker, man. And
now there'll be people that think he's a hero and everything. Yeah, I agree with that. They would think he's. They would have like a website showing how great he is.
Maybe they would. But I guarantee that there would be an equal number, if not more, of people that would just take a wide walk around him just to get away from the stink when he came down the street. See, there's all kinds of so-called snitches and rats, people. And the word snitch and the word rat, which was one that had been reserved to the underworld for many, 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 many years, now is used in the popular vernacular by just about anybody. I mean, I saw that word snitch and rat used by the hip-hop community when a promoter who was sick and tired of Kat Stacks and her bullcrap not showing up when she said she would, being so drunk she couldn't get her fat ass out of a hotel bed, he finally said, hey, I'm not paying for this, and he canceled her plane ticket. So guess what happened? While she's at the airport, she goes to get her plane ticket. It's been canceled. They ask her for her ID, and guess what she's carrying?
What?
She's carrying her Venezuelan passport.
Yeah, you're not even a citizen.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So she shows the Venezuelan passport, and they go, are you a citizen of Venezuela? We don't understand. What does this mean? You're in the country. They find out that she's in the country illegally. And guess what? Her ass gets thrown into the immigrant detention down in Louisiana, where she's been now for almost 2 years. Now, I don't care one way or the other. I do. It concerns me that the promoter, who was a guy in Nashville, what's that cat's name?
I forget. Money B.
Money B, this promoter in Nashville, this guy, all he wanted was for her to show up. He was promoting her appearance, show up, do some interviews at some radio stations, and do a club appearance. And the chick can't get out of bed because she's so hammered on the tequila that he bought. He bought her a bottle of Patron.
You should have taught her how.
Well, no. That's not my job. I ain't teaching Cat Stacks how to drink tequila. No thanks. But the point is, she got so hammered, she can't get her fat ass out of bed. So he says, well, I'm not paying for this. And she demanded her money. I think he gave her her money. And the story is all online. And eventually what happened was he said, well, screw this. I'm not going to pay for her plane ticket. He canceled the ticket. I would, too. So she can't get her plane back to Miami. She gets stopped instead by the cops, who then turn her over to immigration. Turns out she's in the country illegally with her stupid Venezuelan passport. She should have known. She's got a son. She's got family. And this idiot's... And they called him a snitch, you know?
No, that's not fair.
Damn right it ain't fair. All right, I'll get back to Julian Assange in a moment here. Or maybe we'll just keep talking about Cat Stacks. Actually, there's nothing more to talk about.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting story. I'd talk about that, too, if I'd you.
What? What did you say?
Man, you know, you got to learn English. Well, I would talk English.
I was talk English. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's what I said. Was talk English.
No, you don't talk no English I ever heard.
Then go get Cat Stacks.
What?
Gonna go get Cat Stacks.
Man, I still don't get you.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, our News and Information Hour. Now, getting back here to Julian Assange, Julian Massage, the WikiLeaks founder took refuge in Ecuador's London embassy in June as he faced extradition to Sweden on sexual assault allegations, which he denies. Yeah, right, sure.
Yeah, he denying. Of course he's going to deny that.
The UK has said it will not allow him safe passage out of the country. So he's in Ecuador's London embassy. Ecuador's Foreign Minister Ricardo Patino said he hoped talks with the UK would overcome this. He told BBC Mundo the UK should respect Ecuador's sovereign decision. Otherwise, we will use the alternatives under international law to demand the safe passage. We don't think it's reasonable that after a sovereign government has made the decision of granting political asylum, a citizen is forced to live in an embassy for a long period, he added. You may not think it reasonable, but it's been done many, many times, Mr. Patino. It has been done many, many times when a sovereign government wants to apprehend and arrest an individual. They sure as hell got safe haven inside the embassy, but time and again, we have seen governments not allow safe passage out of the country to an individual that they want to arrest. Most recent in my memory, of course, Noriega in Panama. His ass, he didn't make two steps out the front door of that Vatican embassy before he was apprehended and remanded to the custody of the United States government, and now his ass...
His ass in jail.
Yeah. His ass is in jail. So Ecuador may have to, you know, figure this one out. Anyway, Ecuador says Mr. Assange's human rights might be violated if he's sent to Sweden to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two female WikiLeaks volunteers while he was in Stockholm to give a lecture in 2010. His human rights. Now, you guys violating human rights, you know all about that in South America, I can tell you that. Because you cats in Ecuador and all those other countries pioneered the use of the blowtorch, fingernail removal, the car battery attached to testicles, the car battery attached to the metal springs on a bed frame. You guys used it all the time. So maybe you think they do that stuff in Sweden. Last I checked, Sweden was all, you know, ain't they, what do you call that?
Yeah, they're all like international law, Sweden and everything, man. They're peace-loving. Yeah, the Swedes, they don't even... They won't even say boo or nothing if they catch you.
Well, now, let's not make them out to be a bunch of namby-pambies. The Swedes have got laws, and they got cops, you know?
Yeah, but they're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy.
Yeah, ain't they the first one to do that?
They're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy. I'd never heard it put that way, bud.
Yeah, they was. You'd have to be some kind of country where respects the rights of others if you're ready to install, well, I shouldn't say, but they installed a vagina.
And, all right, will you knock it off?
Well, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, how does that make them more prone to respect civil rights because they installed a vagina?
Because that, if a guy said, I want to have my civil rights under the law, and if that means I got to be a woman to get them, then I'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would never do that, but...
You wouldn't do that, huh?
What?
I mean, if they said that you cannot have any civil rights unless you're a woman and they offered to give you the surgery...
Yeah, what would you do, Robert?
Shut up, man. None of your business.
I bet you'd probably put high heels on.
No, you already have put on high heels, I'll bet, to do that.
Yeah, but...
Hey, hey, hey! Start beating... What did I tell you about that? What a stupid conversation. Sweden, man, they're all into human rights because, after all, they're the first ones to make a lady out of a guy. I don't even know they were.
Yeah, they was.
Are you sure?
I think they were, man, wasn't it?
I don't know, man. I remember when that story broke. I was a kid. It was that Dr. Renee Richards. I don't know. Maybe she was. I think it was something else. I think it was later. All right. Anyway, let me get back to this. Okay. So Sweden and Ecuador. Boy, you guys got a pair on you thinking Sweden's going to be overstepping their bounds or bounding over their steps. Ecuador, you got some pair on you. How many guys are rotting away in a dungeon in your country right now? Yeah, hey, Assange, sounds like a good move. Why don't you move to Ecuador? And if you ever run afoul of their law down there, bye, because we'll never see your ass again, man. You will be floating down a river someplace.
Yeah, no kidding, man. They be floating down a river like, you know, butt up with a flower in it.
No kidding.
Butt up with a flower in it. Shut up, man. Shut up.
He's going to belch it. I'm not going to stop him.
Really?
Yeah. I told you.
That was a cheap shot.
No, it wasn't. All right, hold on. Ecuador says Mr. Assange's human rights might be violated if he's sent to Sweden to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two. Well, we wouldn't want him to be questioned over allegations that he sexually assaulted two females, now would we? That would be wrong. Boy, I'll tell you, the strange bedfellows that some of these slobs make, some of these people that are the human rights advocates, and they tend to be these unreasonable progressive types, you know? And by unreasonable, this is what I mean. They don't care if it conflicts with every kind of logic on God's good earth. They find themselves defending the rights of some swinehunt. Well, he's innocent until proven guilty. I understand that he's innocent until proven guilty, but he is charged with this. Anyway, the WikiLeaks website has published a massive leaked diplomatic cables that embarrass several countries, particularly the U.S. The 41-year-old Australian citizen who claims the sexual contact was consensual says the allegations against him are politically motivated, and he fears that if extradited to Sweden, he will then be passed on to U.S. authorities. Mr. Assange said that while Ecuador's decision was a historic victory, our struggles have just begun, adding that the unprecedented U.S. investigation against WikiLeaks must be stopped. Why? You took cables that were not yours and in violation of the law, and one of the main proponents of your apprehension and your extradition, Mr. Assange, is none other than President Obama, who is the chief executive of our country, and while I'm sure you feted and celebrated his taking office as President of the United States, as I did, the fact is he's still the President of the United States, he's the number one law enforcement officer in this country, and he wants your ass arrested. How do you feel about that? Or does that make Obama now a reactionary and part of the enemy? You know, I could have read it. If you could read the stuff with Braille, man, what's wrong with the picture? I could have told you this stuff was going to happen. And I can tell you, I'll go back and I'll find the tapes and I'll play them for you. I said on my radio show, Obama becomes president, you watch, he's going to be more hated by Democrats than he is by Republicans. He's going to be more despised by progressives in his own party than he will be by conservatives. Because he's going to be the president. And when he finally sees what's in the inbox, he's going to say, oh, well, the lay of the land's a little different from the fairy tale and this land of cotton candy that all the rest of these jive-ass people would have me believe it is. And just like I was telling you, the people that killed Obama's agenda in the Congress in terms of selling it to the American people were his own Democratic supporters. They murdered it. They just cut it, I mean, to pieces. So now Obama's president, and guess what? He wants this piece of garbage put in jail just like any other reasonable and law-abiding American president would. So that makes him some kind of a reactionary member of the opposition. You know, there's no winning for losing with some of these dumbasses. The 41-year-old Australian citizen who claims the sexual contact was consensual fears he'll be passed on to U.S. authorities. You better believe it, man. Our struggles have just begun. He wants the WikiLeaks investigation stopped. Are you kidding? You trying to tell us what to do in our own country? You trying to tell us what laws we're supposed to enforce in our own country, Mr. Assange? Who the hell are you, man? You're going to be the guy that's going to decide what cables get leaked when and how. Is that it? We hand it over to Mr. Julian Assange, the Secretary of Jackass.
That's pretty good. Call up President Obama and we'll have that cabinet post.
I'll nominate you, bud.
Yeah, I'll nominate you.
I don't care. I'll be the Secretary of Jackass.
Secretary of Jackass is a jackass, don't you understand?
I thought that was the guy that's going to get the jackass.
Well, we could do that, too. But Assange, he'd be the guy, we'll have him in the cabinet, he'll be the Secretary of Jack Ball, and he will say, well, I think we ought to leak all these cables. You know why? Why is that? Well, I got out of bed on the wrong side. This is really important. Because I, Julian Assange, citizen of Australia, I think this stuff should be leaked.
Woo!
What a pair on him, man. He said, UK Secretary William Hague's, the Foreign Secretary William Hague said there was no legal basis to allow Mr. Assange safe passage out of the country and warned that the case could go on for considerable time. The UK Foreign Office says it remains committed to reaching a negotiated solution, but following its obligations under the Extradition Act, it would arrest Mr. Assange if he left the embassy. Good. Ecuador had described... Let me tell you what's going on here, folks. It's right that this be stopped in its tracks. There has been a sense that has been allowed to grow and grow and grow beyond normal controls and proportions, that the Internet is somehow a place elevated above and beyond law, that it's a place, it's a fantasy land where you can go and do whatever you want. It's a place beyond the restrictions of normal society where you can frolic and play and just basically you can play with your own feces. That's what they do over there on the Internet, some of these people. Mr. Assange is like the leader of this movement, if you will. He's not really, but there's all kinds of, you know, Kim.com. They all pop up from here from time to time. Most of these guys, like that fat-ass Kim.com, he's been stealing for years. He's a thief, and he's been ripping people off, and now his ass is in jail, which is where it's probably going to rot. Because these guys have been operating beyond the constraint of law for a long time. Now comes Assange, and this guy is probably the most intelligent and politically savvy of all of them, but he is, in his own smarmy olive oil way, I'm just quoting John Marley from Godfather.
Yeah, all that Guinea charm and his olive oil voice.
Yeah, only Assange is not a...
He ain't no Guinea.
All right, easy, will you? In his charming way, he's saying, well, you know, this and that and thus and so, but the fact is he's basically saying the same thing. We want the freedom and the right to play with our own muck and to play with our own filth on the Internet, and how dare you tell us that we can't? That's what he's saying. That's the bottom line. We're the ones who are going to decide what is bad. We're the ones that are going to leak it when we feel like leaking it. We're the ones that will set the standard. Who are you? Don't worry. How dare you ask? So it's the human condition. It is the human instinct to want to break the confines and just run out there naked and just play around in the muck and be a child again. That's really what's going on here. It's the, I suppose you could say, the normal urgings that human beings have from time to time to want to just go off and be a hippy-dippy man in the commune.
Yeah, that's what they want to do.
But you can't. You can't do it for any length of time. Otherwise, you have no society, and you don't have the votes there, man. No matter how groovy or how freewheeling you are or how much you desire the free exchange of information, the votes aren't there for you to just go and do whatever you want to do. The human race has been there already. We've seen that kind of chaos. We don't want it anymore. So after a while, when we finally get our bearings and we see what a piece of crap like you is doing, Mr. Assange, we bring the law to bear. And you are brought to Brooke.
Who's she?
Brooke, just some chick. It's a saying. And that's what's happening now. To a guy like Assange, to some of the other scum, to Demonoid, to Kim.com, to you name it, Pirate Bay, possibly. I mean, you name any and all of these websites that felt that they had a almost like a divine right to walk all over anybody that they wanted to, and it's just not going to happen. Because what's happening is once they shut down a guy like this, people that do business with him don't want to do business with him anymore, because if there's one thing they don't want to wind up like him. And where all of his friends were, all of these people that were going to give him all of this sustenance and all of this succor, suddenly they're gone. They're not in his corner anymore. All right, we'll be back. That's all I have to say about that.
What's succor?
That's a sweetener?
Yeah, that's right. It's a sweetener. Wow.
I don't know what it is.
It means something gay. All right, we'll be right back. World famous. No, it doesn't. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Yeah, look at the New York Times. Show. Front page of the Times next.
Yeah!
World famous Phil Hendry Show back. Our final segment here in the News and Information Hour. If you are watching Phil TV in HD, you saw us flash very briefly to the front page of the New York Times. This is our semi-usual feature here.
Yeah, forgot to do it last week.
We didn't forget to do it all last week, did we?
Yeah, well, I forgot to do a lot of time.
Well, we're not forgetting tonight. What we do is we take a front page of the New York Times, a front page, any one of the many front pages between the years 2008 and 1851, because we have this little CD-ROM that shows us all of the New York Times front pages, and we pick a year, and we take today's date. Today's date being...
August 17th to... I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's August 17th. And Dan Northcraft, our technical director, picked out the year 1982... And I found a very interesting, now if you look in there, the New York Times, I'll flip over to it. On the New York Times, August 18, 1982, which would be 30 years ago. So if your birthday is that date, you're 30 today. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're not 30.
Oh. You idiot. He didn't shut up, man.
Hey, hey. What do you mean, thank you?
Well, I don't even said happy birthday. Yeah, only if it's your birthday. I know now, man.
All right. U.S.-China, so on August the 17th, 1982, the headlines in the New York Times said, U.S.-China Accord provides for a cut in arms in Taiwan. Yeah, okay, great, real sexy. And then there's a thing, Citicorp purchase on the coast is backed. This was kind of interesting. This Citicorp became the first bank to go to cross state lines. Before that, banks were chartered to states, but not national. And Citicorp became the first under the new Reagan regime, and this freeing, if you will, of constraints on business extended to banks. So that's a significant story there. 1982, Citicorp becomes the first. Not saying that that necessarily led to all of the devastation that we saw economically in recent years, although I'm sure there are people that would make that argument. Then we have conferees make $13.6 billion cut in spending to reduce the deficit. This was congressional conferees ended 3 days of negotiations today by agreeing on a $13 billion in spending cuts. The cuts were the final element in a package of spending reductions and tax increases that would reduce the federal deficit by nearly $130 billion over the next three fiscal years. But then... Under the pen of Howell Raines, special to the New York Times from Washington, D.C., comes this article. With his televised speech tonight, now again, this is covering President Reagan's televised speech of the night before. That was August the 16th of 1982. The president went on TV, and here's what he said. With his televised speech tonight, on behalf of a bill raising taxes by $98.3 billion over the next three fiscal years, President Reagan placed in jeopardy his reputation for ideological consistency and a mastery of Congress. Now, I think it's really interesting because I recognize that the New York Times by this point was indeed very much a liberal newspaper. But this is a bit of analysis. This is not reporting a story. This is analysis of the speech, and it's the analysis that the writer for the New York Times came to, Howell Raines. Nonetheless, it is a view of something that did happen. President Reagan was a proponent of a $98.3 billion tax increase. The political threat to Mr. Reagan is illustrated by the conservative revolt that some congressional critics say may deny him a majority of the 192 Republican votes in the House of Representatives. As a consequence, for the first time in his presidency, Mr. Reagan addressed the nation tonight as a chief executive who lacked the unified support of his party. The discord among the Republicans was underscored by the supportive response from Representative Thomas S. Foley of Washington, the Democratic spokesman who called for passage of the bill. The speech also marked two other firsts for the president. Never before has he placed his full prestige behind a bill shaped mainly by congressional pressures rather than his own by his own principles, and never before has Mr. Reagan been so dependent on House Speaker Thomas O'Neill. Now, why is Phil reading this?
You're showing that Reagan was for tax increases.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, no, you're missing my point. You're missing my point. This is the political genius of Ronald Reagan. He's got a writer for the New York Times claiming that Reagan has been forced to compromise his principles. He doesn't realize Ronald Reagan today is seen as a man who was able to work with the Democrats in the Congress of his day to get his spending cuts passed, and he did it by way of asserting a bill with $98 billion worth of tax increases. He was able to get Tom Foley and Tip O'Neill on his side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why Ronald Reagan is today seen as a great president. It isn't because he was such an arch conservative. It's because he even had Democrats who admired him and supported him and worked on his behalf. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see you tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.